Welcome back, The Lighter Side. I'm Joe Grammatico. Tom Kaliopoulos is here, and today we're going to conclude our series on the Metropolitan Division with the final two teams, the New York Rangers and the New Jersey Devils, taking a look at their season, what their salary cap and rosters look like heading into the 2021 season, as well as some potential options on what they might do with their rosters. Tom, welcome. How's it going today?
Joe, feeling good. Just got in from a 20-mile bike ride and feeling limber, loose, and ready to get going here, Joe. I got my game face on.
All right. Well, let's start with the New York Rangers, the seventh place finish this season in the Metropolitan Division through 70 games. They were 37-28-5 for 79 points. Overall in the league, they were 18th, so they're going to be in that play-in round that we've discussed. They have 10 picks in this upcoming draft. One of those is a conditional first rounder where they receive the latter of the picks with the teams that they were involved with. They're looking at about a little over $14 million in available cap space. They have a few guys that they need to sign. But going through, what are your thoughts on the New York Rangers and their situation?
Joe, I like their situation mainly because it's a small window that they have to wait before cap space gets really, really flexible for them. Talking about their organization as a whole, as far as prospects, they've done a pretty damn good job of drafting in the last three drafts, mainly the last two drafts. They've normally lately been ranked number one by pundits to have some of the top prospects in the league. They slipped a little bit. And mainly this was due because of the last two drafts, as I spoke of. But they're still in the top five, Joe, for prospects. And I'd like to talk about one of them right now. It has to do with the goaltending situation. We got Shesterkin. I'm sorry. I don't know who I was thinking of there. But he's their number one prospect right now. The goaltender, I believe if the playoffs take hold, he might get the nod over Lundqvist. They have three proven goalies, but I believe he's the one that, to me, may get the nod. What's your take on the goaltending situation there, Joe?
Yeah, obviously they had Lundqvist, who didn't have his best season, but he's the consummate veteran. Was it Shesterkin? Did he come in towards the middle of the season when there was an injury? Yeah.
There's another goalie there.
Gorgiev. I don't know how to say it.
He saw the brunt of the action, but this Shesterkin came in, and they like him. The team likes playing in front of him. They're going to ride the wave with him, I believe, in the playoffs. And if there's any kind of falter, because the other two guys, Shesterkin and the other guy you spoke of, they don't have any playoff experience. So, right. You know, if there's a little bit of a falter there by either one of them, whoever they decide to go with, you'll see Lundqvist in there, and that might be his last hurrah in a blue shirt.
Right. Yeah, he's 38, a long career, but yeah, he's struggled the last two, three seasons. He's been declining, and this year I don't even think he played in half the games before the stoppage. So yeah, they have some couple of decent prospects. I think they're both 24 and they're both up for new contracts Georgiev.
Yeah, Georgiev. That's why I heard that one to you, Joe, but
yeah.
They do. They are pretty well off in between the pipes there. And like I said, I think King Louis there is going to be off the books next year for sure. That's 8.5 mil.
Yes.
So they'll have a lot of flexibility there. I'm looking at their last two drafts, Joe. You got prospects that are still in the system that are going to make the roster this year. Like you got Vitaly Kravtsov as a right winger. You got Keandre Miller, who's still playing at Wisconsin, a big physical defenseman. You got Nils Lundqvist. And then you got last year's draft with Kaapo Kakko and Zach Jones. You got Matthew Robinson, You got Carl Henriksen as a center. Interesting pick was Lauri Pujaniemi. He's a right winger. He was a fifth-round pick. They're really high on him. He's playing over in Liiga, over in Finland, and he's netted 26 goals, Joe. He just came out of nowhere in his third year in that league, and now they're basically really high on him. He's got some. He's got to work on his play without the puck, but he's increased his strengths offensively, which means getting to spots, which is part of that play without the puck mentality that they want him to improve, and he can get that deadly shot off that they so badly covet with that program. Mm-hmm. They don't have problems scoring goals, but you know they do need a sniper. You know, they got more of their goal scoring is based on guys who are facilitators and, you know, with a knack of getting streaky. But they need a consistent guy that can bury the puck. You know, it's just they do have some interesting prospects, though. There's a name that came about named Morgan Barron. He plays over in Cornell right now. He's a smart player, and they need to sign him. He's 21 years old. And ironically, he's the brother of Jordan Barron, one of your favorite players coming into the current draft that we're about to see.
Mm-hmm.
They worked together. He was a Hobie Baker finalist over in Cornell, and you know, he's a smart player. And you know, they're looking for big things from him as well. You also got Adam Edström, who's he's over in the Swedish Hockey League. He's a 6'6" mobile player. And he can skate, and he's a center. They're pretty high on him. Other than that, Joe, I mean, you got Justin Richards, a center, who's a free agent out of Minnesota Duluth. They can sign him, and, you know, he was selected the best conference in his conference as the best defensive forward. But he's probably one of the most complete players in the group, too. So they have some people coming in that they're pretty high on, and you know, they're looking for big things from these guys, Joe.
Yeah, they have been. They're almost like an anomaly. They're always like right there, and they just can't get over the hump with one of the best goalies, really, of the 21st century. They just have never been able to piece it together. But they got a good. You know, Panarin seems to be a great fit. If he can, you know, hold on there, he's got a long-term contract. They got some good, young, talented pieces in their roster now, you know, with Brendan Lemieux, and then Kakko's, he's only going to get better. Buchnevich plays a good role on that team. You know, their defense, they got a couple pieces there in Trouba. And Mark Stahl, the rest of their defense, you know, has some work to do, but I think Lindgren will fill in and get better. But yeah, they definitely have some young pieces that are going to be able to come through, you know, based off of their drafting and make that team better. And it's almost, I guess, to get to the anomaly part, it's almost interesting to see that when they finally do make that push for the Stanley Cup, or they do win it, it's not going to be with Lundqvist in net.
Right, yeah, and that's going to kind of be bittersweet. But, yeah, you think also they acquired Julien Gauffier, who already had 17 games of NHL experience. And they got him from Carolina. He's a 6'4", stay-home defenseman, you know. And, you know, he just needs work on the D side. But actually, he's a forward, I'm sorry. And he averaged 24 minutes for Carolina's AHL team. So he's a guy that's also ready, Joe, and And like you said, it is going to be difficult to see that because who's the sharpshooter they have over there now too? Zavjanov or whatever his name is.
Oh, Zibanejad.
Zibanejad, yeah. He basically is ready to break out too and show some consistency. He's got to prove to people that his that year was not a fluke.
Mm-hmm.
But they still they're really high. They got to improve their defense to me. And this Lundqvist is a good prospect. He's not as physical as Condrey Miller, but you know I think he's probably coming off one of the most productive seasons by anybody under 20 as a defenseman coming out of Europe, and that says a lot over there because they've had a lot of good players coming out.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see what happens. I mean, you got the Jones and Robertson, as I spoke of. They're highly touted coming out of U.S. colleges. Jones may have jumped ahead of Robertson in their depth list, you know, even though one of them was taken earlier. But I think because Jones had an awesome freshman season over at UMass, you know, I think he pretty much performed very well in the World Juniors, too. So I think that vaulted him ahead, and they might be looking to pencil him in the lineup as well because there are some question marks on their blue line.
Yes.
So
yes.
I think – what do you think they need in the draft, Joe? I'm looking – maybe they need a little bit of a scorer. They need a guy who can put the puck in the net, you know,
yeah.
Off the power plays, slots, and, you know, just goal scoring where it's just like Ovechkin-like. They need a guy who can just – flat out score goals.
Right. Yeah, like you said, Zibanejad, he put up what 40 this season and only 57 games or so.
Right.
You know, Panarin, you know, he's, you know, Zibanejad's got to prove that he can do that every year. Panarin put up 30, you know, Kako will get better. Maybe he's good for, you know, 20 to 30 goals over,
right.
You know, each of the next couple seasons. But yeah, if they could get another guy that could score. I don't even know if it needs to be a power forward because I think that's what the role they want Kako to fill. But if they can get someone in the middle of that draft, who knows, they might win the draft lottery. And we still don't know that piece, who's going to be that filler team.
Yeah, they need a goal scorer too, but, Joe. They need a guy that can balance that lineup. I mean, they're heavy loaded in the top two lines. And what I meant mainly was guys on that back end, but they also need there's probably a bigger need as a facilitator. You know, they probably need a guy that can work within that structure and bounce from the fourth line to third line and possibly even not look out of place moving up to second and first if things aren't going well with the chemistry through the course of the long year. They need a guy who can move the puck around, and I'm thinking Cole Perfetti might be a nice pick for them.
Yeah, depending on where they... where they end up, that could be a nice fit.
I'll drop that far, but with this draft the way it played out, I mean, they could slot in at 12, anywhere from 10 to, you know, to wherever 15, and you should be able to, like Hendricks, LaPerriere might be more of a reality for him.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Quinn, we discussed him too. He should be around when they're ready to pick as well.
Yeah, the guys, yeah, from the forward side, the other guys, yeah, like, was it Seth Jarvis? He should be there. Dylan Holloway might still be on the board, and he's more of a power forward guy, but then you got that Helge Grans, he's a defenseman. If they're looking to bolster that D core, he could be he's a good first pass guy back on the blue line in that Swedish league.
Yeah, and I did, at the time I did this study, I penciled maybe Jake Sanderson as a possible pick, just as a best player available scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily the top need to plug in there, but he's moving up the draft boards based on what your conversation I had with you.
Yep,
he might not be an option, but he would fit in nice in any lineup. He's that type of player. But I'm thinking maybe they might be looking at Connor Zeri too. Dawson Mercer or Dylan Holloway, those three players might be in their radar, more reality, but I think Zeri would be the guy they might want to go to. But yeah, they're looking good, Joe. Like I said, they're you know, they have they have salary cap issues a little bit, but it's not like the Red Wings had. Mm-hmm. They're going to be able to buy out Shattenkirk possibly, okay. But they still have one of the youngest rosters in the NHL, and that's they could be a viable. Actually, they could be favored to win the Cup in the next 2 years.
Right. Yeah, you mentioned just real quick Jake Sanderson shooting up the boards. The NHL, they had him at midterm. He was the 11th ranked North American skater. Their final year in rankings, he jumped up to the number 4 North American skater. So if you mix in some of those Europeans in there, you know, it puts him right around 9 or 10 overall. So jumping up from, I think he was around like, you know, 13 to 16. So yeah, Jake Sanderson might end up being a top 10 pick.
Yeah, I'll be watching where he goes. He's an interesting player, and, you know, he fits the mold of really Red Wings. He would look good in a Red Wing uniform, too. But he's obviously, we're going to get a more skilled player, probably. Mm-hmm. But Jake Sanderson definitely would fit. I would love him to fall second. You know, he'd be a, you know, but yeah, I'm more interested in the Red Wings' second round than I am their first round pick, believe it or not. So,
right, there's a lot there. Well, all right, the New York Rangers. Let's get the New Jersey Devils on the board here, because they have quite the interesting draft coming up with 3 first round picks. 2 of those are conditional. They don't have second or third round picks, but when you got 3. I mean, they do have, you know, one with Arizona where it could end up being a 2021 pick. And same thing for Vancouver. That pick could end up being a 2021 pick as well. I don't know how the COVID is going to affect all of this. But yeah, let's assume there's 3 picks for New Jersey. That's a good spot to be in a deep draft like this. They could end up with 3 really high-end players, and they tend to operate on the lower side of the salary cap, so they're looking at about $26 million in available cap space when the season closes, and they need to start planning for next year.
Yeah, Joe, I mean, they're interesting because they have to retool, and they have retooled their prospect pool. So they went from, like, the worst prospect pool in the league to probably in the top 10. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, they have 6 picks in the 2020 draft, a possible 2 extra first rounders, which we talked about during the lottery show. The two conditions were Arizona, if they don't win a lottery pick, mm-hmm. but that's all up in the air still.
Right.
Because they technically could be a top 3 position.
They could get that first, yes.
They could get that first pick. So they could be one of those qualifier teams that loses in the first round, and that takes New Jersey out of a first-round pick. Now, right now, what, New Jersey's picking 7, right?
Yep, New Jersey will have the 7th overall pick.
Okay, I just kind of forecasted in my head before that draft even took place. I had them going 6th, 10th, and 17th. I had those. Right. What I slotted their 3 picks to be. Right. The other condition would be if Vancouver makes the playoffs.
Right.
Which is another thing that you know, the COVID controls. And I don't know how that condition was clauded verbally in a contract.
Right.
But if they don't make the playoffs, then the first round pick bumps to the next year's draft.
Right.
So what happens if they don't play, Joe?
Right. And the other thing, what if they do play, and we talked about this on one of our other shows, what if they do play and Vancouver loses in the qualifying round? Does the qualifying round count as the playoffs?
Well, that's why I said the verbiage of the contract says yes, that's a playoff appearance. But it's not your traditional playoff appearance. But I don't think they have anything in writing regarding any kind of catastrophe or, you know, natural disaster happening to keep a team from, you know, making a playoff spot the traditional way.
Right.
I don't know if it worded top 16 playoff teams. See, so I'm thinking, they're a playoff team.
Yeah,
so technically, New Jersey could get the number one spot.
Yeah.
Two different ways.
Right.
They still have two different – their lifeline is still open for that number one pick. So out of the worst seven teams, Ottawa's probably not hurting too bad because they got a 3 and a 5.
Right.
All the other L.A. obviously jumped up, so they're okay with it. But it's those other teams, Anaheim, Buffalo, Detroit, they're kind of getting the screw. But New Jersey's sitting there and with, hey, wait a minute, we just upped our opportunity here to get this number one pick through Arizona or Vancouver.
Yeah, if I'm Vancouver, where it says if the Canucks do not make the playoffs, then it becomes a 2021 pick. If I lose that qualifying round, if I'm the GM, I'm saying, hey, that was a qualifying round. We weren't in the playoffs because you called it a qualifying round, so we didn't qualify for the playoffs. Well, but if I'm New Jersey, I'm saying the opposite. Hey, the league made a stipulation this year. You're in the qualifying round. That is part of the playoffs this season. So that's really interesting.
So you might have an arbitrary court date, and he'd probably be the first hearing that you've had since the Dale McCourt, Rogie Vachon deal that went through the court system for quite a while. And it was not good for the league. So hopefully, like I said, that's why I said in the earlier show about the lottery, you know, Bettman better hope this season goes and they can get rid of the – it doesn't affect these conditional picks, because we did discuss that when all this COVID stuff hit, and we did bring those up as being will be hindered, definitely. Mm-hmm. But you look at New Jersey, getting back to them, Joe, I mean – they've got Jesper Boqvist, a forward. He's playing in the Swedish league right now. He's got skill, speed, and size. He's just working on getting to the hard areas like a lot of young players, and they're high on him. They're high on Michael McLeod. He was a 12th pick in 2016. He's expected to make the team this year, a big, rangy, 6'2", 188-pound forward. They're not hurting on defense. They got Ty Smith. He needs to put on more muscle, but he's an offensive-minded defenseman, and basically that's what they need. They need somebody on the back end that has some offensive mindset. Their goaltending situation's a little suspect, Joe, but they got a kid named Mackenzie Blackwood there who they're counting on. But after him, the cupboard's bare. So, that name Askarov keeps coming around again, I have him maybe slated if New Jersey does get those three picks. Look for Askarov to be wearing a New Jersey Devil uniform.
Yeah, he would. He would be on the board outside of the top 10 when you would see those picks come in. So yeah, that would really round out the draft. Could you imagine New Jersey wins the draft lottery? They pick 1-7, and then they get their goalie that next pick.
Joe, that puts them in as a top 10 team in the NHL.
Right.
Before the season even starts next year.
Yep, from last.
Yeah, but I look, Drysdale would not be a bad pick for them either. Maybe Jake Sanderson. But, this team's been kind of had an odd year because they fired Fred Shiro midseason. This is right after he got rid of an MVP, Taylor Hall, a team that was had trouble scoring goals. Hughes didn't pan out like they thought he would, so he's probably going to need a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
They got a question mark, who's going to be their coach? So they technically could bring in a marquee name. You might see Dan Bielsma over there. His name's been bandied about. And I'm not sure who they have over there right now. Do you have that on?
Their coach, their coach was that Alain Nezerdine.
Okay, they need a name guy over there. So I'm sure that'll be something in the offing too. And but they need some offense. They need a shooter and a finisher. So you're gonna be looking at players like that in the draft for them. There's a few of those guys. That can put the puck in the net. Rossi would be a good guy. You know, although he's, to me, he's a, his size scares me a little bit, but I think he would fit in well over there. Guy that just has a knack for scoring. So, got anybody on your end, Joe? Might look good in a new jersey, other than the guys we discussed.
Yeah, they're at number seven. Real quick, I think they made out really well on that Blake Coleman deal too. I think Nolan Foote's going to be a pretty solid player for them in the future. A big kid out of the Western Hockey League. I think he's at Keelanau. Is that where he was at? Kelowna? Yeah. So I think that that's going to work out with him.
Adam Foote?
Yeah, he's Adam Foote's kid. He's, Callan Foote's brother. Callan's over in...
Well, he's got good pedigree then.
Yeah. So that's, I think that was a nice pick. And of course, they got that conditional first rounder that came along with it. So yeah, I think New Jersey made out really well for their growth there. At seven for New Jersey, I mean, you got, yeah, there's a whole host of guys that could be on the board. You mentioned Perfetti. You got Jake Sanderson.
I would roll away from Perfetti and guys like Seth Jarvis and Perfetti. They got enough of those guys, and Heischer and Hughes. And I think they just need a pure just guy who gets to his spots and can snipe. A couple guys in that draft. I think that's the road they might go. That's why I was kind of hoping if them instead of L.A. would have maybe popped in front of them, because that'll give Detroit a little more flexibility, because you don't know where L.A.'s going,
right?
You know, with what they're going to pick.
Yeah. I could see them. Well, maybe not. I was going to say, I could see them pulling Jack Quinn in. He's a pure scorer. He's been moving up the boards. Yeah. They might, though, have another pick after seven that they could nab him with. But, yeah, he'd be a guy.
Yeah, I guarantee you they got a lot of blanks that just they're waiting for this phase two to, you know, see the playoffs play out a little bit and wait for that second phase draft and see where they're sitting. But, yeah, they got to be licking their chops a little bit right now. I didn't think about that when I was so upset that just how bad it played out with that to-be-determined team taking the first slot, that I didn't realize that New Jersey is kind of putting a nice position here.
Right.
Based on these other two teams, they have two opportunities here with different ways of getting that number one pick,
right?
And another high first round pick. They can feasibly get the first round pick, Joe, and they can feasibly get a top another. They could have three picks in top 12.
Right. I don't know if you remember. This is not specifically on this topic, but it has to do with Jack Hughes. I was doing the shows with Zach. I think it was our second or third episode. I did my hot takes for the season. And I said that Jack Hughes would score the fewest points of any first overall pick this century in his rookie season. I said that he'd put up fewer than 31 points, which was it? Nail Yakupov put up 31 points in 48 games. At the stoppage, Hughes had 21 points in 61 games. So I don't think he would have made it to the 31 over the last, I think there was only about 10 or 11 games left. So I'm going to call that hot take. I'll pat myself on the back for that one.
Where did Zach go with that? I know he was kind of hesitant about Hughes as well.
He was hesitant, but he thought I was reaching on that one. He thought he'd put up over the 30 points that he'd catch on. And,
I would have went that way too, but I didn't realize that. So that basically goes to show you, Joe, the importance with some of these draft picks and their physical makeup.
Mm-hmm.
Scouts need to know how they're gonna, how they're gonna play within a supporting system. And Hughes, you're gonna have Lafreniere come in. He's gonna be able to play with anybody.
Right.
Okay. He's a big body. It's like Crosby. He got a good strong core. Not to say Hughes didn't. But you could tell that Hughes was going to need to be playing with a team that had perfect components to surround him, to transition him a little bit easier. And New Jersey just didn't have the depth. mm-hmm. to make that happen.
Right.
So this next year is really going to be key for him because, man, if it snowballs on him, Joe, and you get 3 years into his career and he's still struggling, you're going to hear that word bust come about. Mm-hmm. I know that's way too premature to be talking about that because this kid is so skilled.
Right.
But he's got to learn how to play this game with big men physically beating and leaning on him day in and day out. He's going to have to learn how to do that. And that's why his point total is down, mm-hmm. is because of that aspect, not because the kid's not smart right. or not skilled.
Right.
It's that aspect. And, you know, people know that around the league. And the harder time he has to make that adjustment, that's just going to make it get around the league that much more, and it's going to make it tougher. So that's what's tough about this league, in any pro league really, is with social media and the way these guys, these coaching staffs have ability to get film on people. You really have to do your homework and due diligence as a player. Larkin went through that, mm-hmm. you know, and he's still not where he needs to be, in my eyes, getting to greasy areas. Because I contend all the time that he would get another 15 goals the easy way, you know, like tap-ins and
right.
greasy junk goals, if he would learn to get in those areas and maybe take a shot or two once in a while
right.
and pay the price.
Right.
So he'd probably be a consistent 45-goal scorer. But until he does that, you're going to see Larkin toil around 25 to 35.
Right.
So, and 35, that's, you know, saying a lot. He's going to have to learn to do that, and he'll be a 45-goal scorer with his skill set.
Right. What do you think, New Jersey, at their 7th pick, it wouldn't be too much of a stretch that Anton Lundell out of the League.
I like him. I really like that guy. And his name's starting to come up a lot, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think he would fit in well. He's a well-rounded player.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that he's third in central scouting. That's of European skaters, so that probably puts him, you know, with the North American talent that's in the league, that probably puts him around 9 or 10. But he's right. shown up anywhere from 6 to 25. I think 25 is way off base, but he's 6-11 consistently, so at 7, I don't think it would be a stretch at all, and he'd probably fit in pretty good on that New Jersey team.
Yeah, I like him over some of the forwards that are rated above him for that New Jersey lineup based on what I just mentioned about Hughes.
Right.
Now, they can afford to take a player like that on the back end because they do need – an offensive-minded defenseman, which scares me in a bit because I really like Drysdale in a wing wheel. But, man, I'd be so disappointed if Yzerman did not get either Stutzel or Drysdale. So, you know, but New Jersey's a team that can really, really, they can't upset them because they're picking a pick after. But I'm saying if Drysdale drops, which I can't see happening.
Right.
But, they won't have to worry about New Jersey stealing him.
Right.
I can't think of really – I don't think L.A. would take Drysdale, although he does kind of remind me of like a less physical Drew Doughty.
Right.
But a way better skater.
That's what I've been thinking in my head. I don't think – even though, and we've talked before, that Stutzel's probably a better player than Quinton Byfield, I think Quinton Byfield fits the L.A. mold better. But
sizable forward.
Yeah, but I think, like you said, there's a lot of, you know, less physical Drew Doughty in him. So would they go with the defenseman, or would they take that big, powerful forward and hope that he lives up to that role? And, you know, they'd build their next wave of, you know, playoff runs around that guy.
Yeah, and I found it interesting. I was listening to Luke Robitaille talking about the draft lottery after it happened, and they found out they were slotted number 2. And he had Rob Blake sitting in the room with them, you know, in the war room, so to speak. And he brought up the fact that there's a lot of irony to the number 2 pick because The Kings did take Drew Doughty number two, and then they won a cup a year or two after that. And then they brought up the time the other number two were Jimmy Carson, who was drafted the same year Luke was. He was traded for Wayne Gretzky, and that was good thing for L.A. too, because you saw what happened to them team-wise after Gretzky came into town. So, there, you know, when he started talking about Drew Doughty and you know, I was hoping, hope that doesn't mean he's going to go for Drysdale, but we'll see what happens. But, yeah, I don't know. You know, Lafreniere's going number one. It's just a matter of who's picking what Ottawa's going to do. And what LA's going to do is going to really determine Yzerman's direction.
Yep.
So, but I watched some film again on Stutzel. I think I'm pronouncing that right. I'm hearing other people say it differently. Like you hear the German pronunciation, it's Stutzle or something.
Yeah, I can't say that way. So I stick with Stutzel, North American version.
I don't want to sound like Hitler. I start talking in my German accent. I don't want to start. Yeah. You know, pissing people off. But, you know, so, yeah, but I watched film of him, Joe, and, man, I think he reminds me, his skating reminds me a lot of Yzerman because it's mainly quick and agile. Because Stevie wasn't necessarily a burner, a powerful skater, but he was quick and agile. And this Stutzel reminds me of that.
Yeah.
And to me, he has a knack for goal scoring, too. So Stevie was more of a goal scorer coming out of junior. They didn't talk much about his prowess as a passer, which he was very adept at. That was like a secondary phase of his game. But this Stutzel was opposite. He can pass the puck, great vision, but I think he's a better scorer than people think he will be. So I think he would be a nice addition to the Red Wing fold and fit in anywhere and add production. But he also is a complimentary facilitator that could really help out on the power play and other factors. But then you look at Drysdale and I'm thinking, okay, he can break pressure with the teams putting forechecks on Detroit. I think I was at that Calgary game before the COVID. I ran into you
right.
You were with your wife there, and anyway, I'm hearing my name, and I'm thinking, okay, who is this? And I look over, and it's you. But we were at that game, and you know, it was the first wing game I went to because they just disgust me. I'd rather just, you know, stay away from them for a while. And I'm watching them in person, and they're way worse in person than they are on TV, too. But I did notice teams forecheck the shit out of them. And like I said, word gets around the league no matter what aspect of the game is that they're watching on teams and players. And use an example. If you don't fight as a rookie, if you don't answer the bell and you don't fight, you're going to end up fighting twice as much because people are going to challenge you. And that's how it was in any league that I played. And even when I went up in the Quebec League, you know, I had to fight my first year or I'd be fighting twice as much.
Right.
So same with goal scorers or teams that are weak going back and retrieving the puck. But Detroit was the worst at that. So I think Drysdale would add an element of respectability there and keep teams off the aggressive forecheck when he's especially on the ice. He can teach Hronek how to do that as well and just go retrieve pucks at the right angles and use his skating ability to get clearance and just outlet the puck or lead the rush himself. So, and both those guys can help the power play as well. So, those two players, I think, are the one Yzerman should have on his radar. But then, you know, I'll watch the draft, Joe, and we'll be watching it. And it wouldn't surprise me if he picked the goaltender.
Right.
You know, just to throw a wrench in everything. But I'm thinking he's going to go Stutzel, and mainly because of that link with Moritz.
Right.
What's your take on that?
I don't know if he's going to be around at four.
No, you don't think so?
Yeah, I don't know. It depends on. I think if it was a normal, you know, the worst three teams were picking 1, 2, 3, I think that you know, he would be the obvious number two pick over Byfield just because he's probably has a better all-around game, and he's already playing in a men's league at a really high level over in Europe. So I think he would go number two and Byfield three. But with L.A. thrown in there, I mean, L.A. didn't have a great year, but I think they're better than their record showed. I don't know what they're going to do, and I don't know what Ottawa wants to do. I could see them taking him and thinking he'd be a good complimentary piece with Brady Tkachuk, because he can play center or left wing. I think he splits time in Mannheim, 50-50 yeah. At center or wing, so they have a real versatile player there. I can't see him falling past three, but maybe they want Jamie Drysdale real bad. I guess when we get to Ottawa, we'll break down their roster and we cover the Atlantic, we'll see definitely. If that fills up.
Joe, but you get to the point where, going back to New Jersey, I can see him taking Raymond as well. But if they do, I think that would be a mistake, mainly because I think that kid, they got too many perimeter players in New Jersey anyway. But I go back to Stutzel and I'm watching this film, and he's one of the few players in this draft that, as I was watching his film for like 15 minutes, just he's working the East and West game. He's working North and South. He does everything well, and he has great vision in all directions. And I'm thinking this guy would be a perfect complement to anybody's lineup. Mm-hmm. He would really fit in well with New Jersey, but unfortunately, seven is not going. He's not going to be around.
Right.
Perfetti might. But he's, like I said, they got too many of those. Got too many small forwards over there right now. I think they need to go with a bigger body that can facilitate. And there's not too many of them in this draft.
But, right.
Yeah. So that's it for New Jersey. I think, like I said, they got to build up some prospects, and I think they're doing a good job of retooling over there. And was it Brodeur is the general manager over there now?
I don't know if he's a VP or what, but Tom Fitzgerald's their general manager. The old
smart. Yeah.
Yeah. The yeah. old was is he?
Islander.
Yeah, Islander and.
Went to Western, didn't he?
I'm not sure. He played. Didn't he play for the Panthers for a while?
Yeah, there too. He was just a good, smart two-way forward. But he's a smart hockey guy, and they'll get it right over there because they got some good talent over there. I think, like I said, the key over there is will Hughes start getting it, and I think they really need to build pieces to get him productive. So they might go that way in the draft. Who knows? They might even take that Lundell kid, that we talked about. He's a sizable kid that doesn't necessarily have great feet, but he would give guys like Hughes and Heeshire and the like room to operate there.
Yeah. Heeshire's the other one that I don't think he gets it yet. He really hasn't come into his own. He had an awful plus-minus year this year.
Yeah, it came out of the Quebec League as well, and that's normally not a physical league.
Right.
So sometimes you take guys from the Quebec League and they got to learn how to transition into the physical aspect. I don't know. Lafreniere's coming out of the Quebec League, and so did Crosby, but those guys knew how to play in traffic every night. They've got guys running them and stuff like that. I'm not saying it doesn't happen in the Quebec League. It's not like it's a flag football type mentality in that league. There is hits and all that stuff, but usually it's not like the Western League or the Ontario League, where there's more traffic and clogged situations on the ice, but where physical play comes into play more. Yeah, you don't see Heeshire. The kid over there in Carolina reminds me of him a little bit. Who's Aho?
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, kind of similar to me. But you see what Aho is doing over in Carolina. That's probably because he's getting the physical aspect of the NHL more than Heeshire. So yeah, it's kind of weird how that works, but. Yeah, so that's it for New Jersey. I mean, like I said, the Metropolitan is going to be competitive for a long time, Joe. because there's a lot of good young talent in the league, and a lot of the organizations in that division are getting their cap spaces proper. Right. So they're not seating themselves up like, you know, and obviously hearing people in Detroit know how much of a detriment that can be to a rebuild or a consistency, or, you know, even if you're making the playoffs, are you really building it right?
Right.
And that wasn't happening in Detroit. I wasn't excited about this team probably since 2010, even though they made the Cup final that year. I wasn't excited about it after that because I knew this team wasn't built to no longer compete where they should to make Cup. You got to have a good tangible physicality about you. You should be able to play any team and you know, play your style. And I just didn't see that with Detroit. They became a one-dimensional team.
Right. Yeah, they definitely are the tightest division. And New Jersey is kind of the outlier. But 1-7, only 11 points separated them. The next closest division, you got to go out west, and there's 22 point separation between Vegas and LA in the Pacific between 1-7. Wow, so yeah. It's real
tight.
What
division are we covering next, Joe?
Next, we'll finish off the Eastern Conference. We'll talk about the Atlantic Division. We'll take the top four teams in the Atlantic, and then we'll get the bottom four after that. But yeah, we got a lot of content, a lot of ideas we want to bring out, and that we're going to be recording and piling it in over the next few weeks. So definitely stick around and come back. We're gonna have lots of draft talk, or if you finish up these divisions, we'll talk Hall of Fame. We're gonna keep piling some content on, so don't go anywhere. Well, till next time, Joe and Tom, we'll see you back here next time on the Lighter Side.